The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Well, to look at these areas, we're joined by Frederica Shepherd, a member of the Small Firms Association National Council and an MD of Vault Edge HR Consultancy. Frederica, very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Richard.
We had a number of measures announced by the government in relation to schemes to try and support businesses and support employees. What kind of reaction to these new measures have you seen?
Yeah, look, I think it's been great. The government have been so responsive to the situation that we find ourselves in. And, you know, it's been evolving and they've been updating all of the various different measures. I think the latest set of supports that they announced on Tuesday were quite different to the initial set of supports. So I think we're all still trying to get to grips with that. And of course, that was just enacted in the past the Senate there last night, I think, or the night before. And so we're still working through just what that fully means. But
are many people confused whether they're workers or employers?
There is some confusion, certainly, because there are now a number of different schemes. And of course, some of the schemes have a qualifying criteria to do with, you know, loss in revenue or lost in potential business.
So what kind of questions are you getting from small firms about, or even indirectly through them from their workers about situations?
I'd say certainly the wage subsidy scheme, where there's that qualifying requirement for 25% or more loss in business. I think companies are concerned that if they go for that, will they somehow be registered as being not maybe credit worthy, or might it impact them in 12 months' time when we're through this for maybe bidding for public tenders or something like that? And I think also just, you know, companies who are prudent and actually held on to some cash may well be finding it very difficult right now. So can they apply for this sort of scheme or not? So there's a number of different, I think, queries associated with that particular one.
Are there particular sort of grey areas where, for example, people are maybe, because of the nature of their job, they have to work in close proximity to somebody?
So I think that we've got much greater clarity on that. I think companies have been remarkable, really, in how they've actually responded to this. Organisations who were uncomfortable with the whole notion of remote working for decades have converted overnight, and they have really pushed the bar out. And individuals have actually just cooperated fully with it, in our experience. And I'd say just the whole thing about essential services, which of course now is even more important given the announcement last night, changing into the workplace and how you actually can ensure that 2 metre distance. That is really challenging, especially if you're in manufacturing, if you're producing pharmaceuticals, if you're producing medical, anything to do with the needs of the medical team at the moment.
And what are the rules? Let's say, for example, if somebody is part of a team in a van. They have to be in a van with another person. They are particularly concerned because they have a relative, or they themselves feel that they might be higher risk in terms of the impact of getting this. And they say, I don't want to do this.
What's
the legal position?
So really, in that sort of situation, I guess the employer really needs to establish, first of all, if you've got somebody sitting in a van with somebody else, then it's not possible to have the 2 metre distance. And so you might have to reorganize your work, okay, so that your deliveries or whatever it is you're doing will have to be done differently.
So they shouldn't really be in that position.
They shouldn't be in that position in the first place, okay? So that's something the employer really needs to do something about. The other aspect of that is, if I'm concerned about my well-being, I don't have the condition, I haven't been diagnosed, but I have somebody at home who's a high risk, well, that individual is not going to be certified unwell, and they're not going to be told by HSE or a medical doctor to go into self-isolation. But if they really don't want to come to work, then it may be a situation of personal leave, maybe choosing to take some annual leave or parental leave or something like that, or they may actually have to be laid off. All right.
And that's where some of the new schemes might kick in that situation, yeah, if they were,
yeah,
laid off. But
yeah,
prior, if they weren't actually laid off, they're not necessarily in a position to benefit from any of the new
exactly,
measures.
Because they wouldn't qualify for sick, yeah, leave as such.
We have a number of queries in here, Frederica. One of them: hi, I work in an essential business finance area to do with the circulation of money. I can't work from home due to the nature of my job. What if I'm afraid to leave the house and want to stay at home? What employee rights do I have?
So I suppose the first thing to do is obviously express your concerns to your employer. Really important to actually talk to your manager about your concerns and where that their concerns are coming from. If your job can't be done remotely, then again, it might be that you choose to take some personal leave or something like that. Employers are encouraged to pay employees in situations like this if they can. But of course, employers have to try and manage this for a longer period of time. So if it was only 2 weeks, they might be able to pay only 2 weeks. But potentially we could be talking about a longer period of time. So in that situation, they might have to actually apply for the pandemic unemployment benefit if they can't come to work.
Right, and they might have to go down that road. Mm. We have one here, it's from a teacher in Mayo. I'm asking if in relation to working at home, should an employer expect an employee to be available outside his or her normal working hours to take phone calls, for example, answer emails or attend online team meetings without prior rearrangement or request? I'm in the education sector, so glad to have retained my job. And while I'm very willing to extend myself and be flexible, I think a clear demarcation between work and home is vital for clarity's sake and maintaining sound mental health.
And that is so true. Really, really critical. So I would say employers need to actually think about that whole relationship with their employees and make sure that they're setting expectations. So this is extraordinary time for everybody. And I think a huge percentage of people are actually putting every effort into making this possible to get through this really difficult time.
What about if the employer says you are working from home, but I need you to take emails and to do things outside of the normal working hours? Can the employer say no?
The employer needs to be reasonable. Okay, and the employee, obviously.
Can the employee say no?
They can if it's outside of their working hours, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, we have another one here. My daughter works in a takeaway. At peak times, there are four chefs and four counter staff present in close proximity, taking and making food orders and dealing with customers. They operate within the guidelines as far as customers are concerned, with safe queuing and staggering the numbers entering the premises to collect meals. However, this is not the case for staff, as they are all in close proximity to each other. What would your advice be to my daughter and her colleagues to ensure their health and that of their families and friends?
Yeah, I think again the employer really needs to change some working models there, because obviously they can't meet the recommended guidelines of the 2 meter space. But obviously takeaways and restaurants now may well be in a different category. I know that since last night. But again, individuals need to take precautions for sure, but employers need to step up and actually ensure that they are providing safe working environments. So make the changes that are needed, even though they will be difficult.
And of the new supports that the government has announced, for example, in the case of subsidising pay for individuals, helping the employers with that, I know the British system, for example, if you were an employer and you had 10 staff and you had enough work for 5 of them, you couldn't spread the work over the 10 of them on a part-time basis. That in order to avail of this, you had to be not working at all. How does our scheme compare with that?
Well, I think our scheme doesn't necessarily prevent you from doing that. Underpinning all of this is, you know, the established employment legislation and established contractual terms. So if you have a smaller amount of work and you have too many people to deliver that work, then you can enter into consultation with your staff to say, we will either have to lay off a small number of people, or we can divide it across the whole team and try and retain the whole team, or we'll have to enter into some sort of other arrangements around scheduling of various different leave. So I would encourage employers to consult with their staff and collectively come to some sort of an agreement that actually is sustainable, because it has to be sustainable for business as much as for the individuals.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. No doubt a lot more of these issues are going to arise in the coming weeks and months ahead. Frederica Shepherd, a member of the SFA National Council and MD of Vault Edge HR Consultancy. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.